Hey everybody, welcome to the Way on Campus podcast. This is your podcast on all things Christ, Christianity, and Clovis Community College related. If you happen to go to Fresno City, Reedley, or any other part of the SCCCD, then welcome and thank you for listening. So my name is Austin Thompson. I am the president of the Way on Campus, and this is my co-host, Sean O'Hara. Sean, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Austin, I was introduced to the Way on Campus last semester. I got to meet you, I got to meet a lot of people, and I was immediately asked if I wanted to be the secretary, and I couldn't deny it. I love the club, I love what you guys were doing, and so I decided, you know, why not? I'd love to work with you guys, I'd love to be in our community of people, of believers that love God, and would love to see his name proclaimed on campus, and so I wanted to be part of that movement. I was super excited to hear that we're going to do a podcast, and I was even more honored to know that you wanted me to be a co-host.
Yeah, so basically what this podcast is designed to do is to keep you Christians updated on campus of what's going on in the culture, what's going on in the lives of those around us, and really to encourage you to think through what you believe and why you believe what you believe. We want to point all of you back to the words of Jesus in John 14, which is where our title, The Way, comes from. In John 14, Jesus said, in a response to a question from Thomas, Thomas asked, Lord, we do not know where you are going, referring to heaven. This is what Jesus was describing. So Thomas asked him, how can we know the way? In John 14, 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what we believe is that through Christ, it is the way to salvation. It is the way to knowing God and to truly knowing who you are. We believe that our identity is found in our Creator, and we believe that through knowing Christ, your life is restored and you are born again. So what we want to do today is kind of introduce ourselves to you, kind of describe what's going on around us. I think it's about 10:39 in the morning. Sean, what was your experience when you were parking?
Oh my God. parking today, okay, so today's the first day of school, so it's pretty general, it's pretty well understood if you're a college student that if you don't go to the first day of class, then you're kicked, you're out. So of course we're going to have a very large volume of students here in the beginning portion of the semester, but as the semester progresses, I think we can expect to see less of a population. And that'll definitely help with parking, but yeah, I mean, you were telling me today were having to park all the way in the back section.
Yeah, way, way back. Yeah. I'm talking, I got the last spot available facing the street, like on this side facing AC1. So I'm telling you, it took me like 5 minutes. I told you I was 2 minutes away. That's not true. It took me 5 minutes to walk to where you were.
I can only imagine what it's like over at Fresno City.
Oh, I have two classes there, okay?
So, yeah, you tell me later how it is. Yeah. And it's
Lord, help me. Help me find a parking spot.
It's going to be so bad. I just know that for sure. Hello.
Yeah, hey, that was our friend Ben Bohan. Yes, Ben, we're having a shout out to you right now. He'll hear this later, most likely. But, your experience was a little difficult. Mine is more difficult because I came later than you.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's starting to show that Clovis Community College is growing as a campus. I think a lot of people within Clovis, Fresno, even Oakhurst and Madera, come down here for classes. And we're talking, yeah. I mean, think about it. There's 500,000 people in Fresno. Mm-hmm. There's 140,000 or so in Clovis. Then we're talking Oakhurst, you know, with Lemoore and other cities around us, man, we're talking close to 1 million people.
Close. Yeah. I think one of the things that we should keep in mind, too, is that we have people coming in from high school. I mean, we have high schools all around our community, and they're not going immediately to state. Mm-hmm. They're going to be coming to community college to help comp for the price, get all their general ed, and maybe some of their lower-end graduate classes out of the way, so that way they can transfer to state 2 years later and then graduate from there. But yeah, the community college, having Clovis actually as community college, as you all well know, it was Willow International before then. And that was just because it was just the cross streets of the school itself. But now this being an actual established independent school is, I think it's very prestigious. And I think a lot of the staff members around here are really excited. But I mean, the life here on campus right now is very lively. Lots of cool people, lots of familiar faces, but that's just from previous semesters. And
don't you love that, though? The fact that you know people when you come
back? Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, you know, Sean, what's up? And you see Austin. What's up, Austin? How you doing? Had you for English 1A or something like that? And so it's a lot of excitement, and I think a lot of people aspire to do great things. But I think one thing that really is going to help us not lose our fire in the semester coming, and I'm talking like 3 months into it.
Mm-hmm.
3 months into it, I think the actual statistic is that 70% of students actually fall straight off the radar.
Really?
As far as motivation goes.
Mm-hmm.
They lose all sense of motivation. They don't want to go as far. They don't want to push as harder. And I'm not saying I know this for sure, but I think that the reason that is because they don't have as much community support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that staff is really trying to enforce, because I know last semester it was group projects, and those are the worst.
Yeah.
Especially if you're working with people that don't really know how to work well or don't have a good work ethic.
And what you meant by they're the worst in terms of the working together with groups, you always get like those mix of people, the people who just want to like skate on by in the group.
Yeah, and get a free ride.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing that staff is trying to focus on, that I think also students should focus on, is how to be a light in the dark places. How to show yourself to be both a supportive figure, to know how to work hard, to know how to respect another person, another creation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes without saying, because as Christians, we have this sort of character to know and to want to work hard until the day of our Lord, to know and to want to respect our neighbors and to know and to want to love them.
Mm-hmm.
So combining that together, I really think that the Way Club is going to be a big facet in this community college coming together as a real community. And not just as a humdrum school.
In other words, we want, in a sense, be that community within the community that can be like a life-giving thing to the people around us.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the one thing, I think you struck the nail on the head where you said that we want to be a life-giving community within another community.
Mm-hmm.
That being, there are, of course, communities of people that, you know, friends and friends of friends. But not all those communities are going to help you succeed in college. I think if you want to be a successful person, you should surround yourself with successful people, yes, but then also a group of people that can support you and believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And say that, yes, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not restricted by any of the quote-unquote facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
You are what you ascribe to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as a Christian, and that kind of willpower is granted to you by God, so that you may honor Him, and as it says in Matthew, so that they may look at your good deeds and then give glory to Father in heaven for your good deeds.
And that's important to point out too. If you're a Christian and you attend Clovis Community College, we want to encourage you to look to Christ for the strength for the semester and not get bogged down. Don't look at it like you have your Christian life and you have your school life. Your Christian life is when you go to school, it's when you go to work, it's when you hang out with friends. You're called to be that example. And it also means that that's the purpose of your life, is ultimately to give glory to God. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, you know, it talks about what the will of God is,
mm-hmm.
Ultimately that we would give glory to God. But yeah, that's what we want to do. Our focus through this podcast is to point you to Christ, point you to practical ways you can make an impact on Clovis Community College. And if you are a part of other schools in the area, we want to encourage you as well to, if you're a Christian, to be that light. And if you're not a Christian, from time to time, we'd like to talk to you and get you thinking about what we believe as Christians and why we will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to take a break now, but when we get back to the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about who Jesus is, why that's important, and how that relates to the Bible, and how Jesus is the silver cord that runs through all of the texts in Scripture. So we'll be right back, but hang in there, guys. We'll be here soon.
God moves in a mysterious way. mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in the depths of God's own mind, his glory to treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Only his Lord who can know his providence. Oh, my soul, trust in the Lord, for his ways are always best. Oh, my soul, trust in. Saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall bring in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord with feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning brow,
welcome back to the Way on Campus podcast. Once again, I'm Austin.
I'm Sean.
And welcome back to segment two. So, in the first segment, we kind of talked about who we are, why we're here, what's the atmosphere like on day one, which is January 11th, 2016. So, we want to dive a little deeper, and we're going to talk about our beliefs as Christians and who we believe Christ to be. So, I'm going to hand this over to Sean, and he's got something prepared already.
So, one of the things that we have to understand about college campuses, and I'm sure that you're all aware of, if you're not, then you're going to be very soon, is that there's a lot of friction from other parties, that being the agnostic parties or the atheist parties or even other religions, that kind of rub up against us and really start to question our logic in believing, our logic in doing. And so one of the things I wanted to hand off to you guys as a small part of an encouragement is some simple dialogue that you can interact with these people. And if you can't really get them to interact, then, you know, that's fine. One of the things I will always say is that if you're going to talk to a person who's very negative and is not willing to have a conversation, probably best to leave that person alone. Maybe it's not the time for you to plant the seed. I would say pray for your enemies, of course, and have grace with them, have understanding. Of course, when Christ was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, they do not understand what they do. They're like blind sheep being led by a blind shepherd." So have understanding for these people. These people are not the enemy. It is the one leading them that is the enemy, and that is the prince of this world. He is our enemy. So don't be mistaken. But here's an honest question from, let's say, a very honest atheist or an agnostic who has an honest question for you. Or for us Christians, he says, "What evidence do you have that God exists?" And for a lot of people, that can be quite startling. It could be quite fearful. And that can strike a lot of fear in a lot of people. But I want to give you some help. And this is just one step into a place I like to call apologetics. I love apologetics. I love a well-formed argument. But as it says, speak with grace and with truth. And so when we're saying these, we're not saying these to prove a point. We're saying these to inform. We're as teachers, we are to be as, we're to be as slothful or as graceful as snakes. And what's the
wise as serpents and gentle as doves.
There we go. That's as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Thank you. So go in that with that mentality. So let's start off this dialogue. So what evidence does the Christian population have that proves the existence of God? One great way of responding would be to say the universe itself is evidence of God's existence. That might throw them for a loop, and it might throw you for a loop as well. Of course, they say, "Why do you say that?" One of the things we can say in return was, we can agree that the universe exists, right? You and I both exist, and if they're operating on a logical level, then yes, they will say reality is what we perceive it to be, and it all feels real, so we're going to go off the presumption that it is real. So, skeptic says, "Of course." The Christian says, "Well then, think of this. The universe exists, but how did it come to be?" And I think the Big Bang, you know, okay. Cool. So that's one of the universal theories that really supporting creation, that really supports how all matter came into being. One of the three ways that philosophers can describe of how creation came into being were three ways. It was always has been, or it created itself, or it was created. So those are the three theories or the three supports that you have. So those are the only three ways that something can come to be, was that it always has been, it created itself, or it was created.
So another term could be created, uncreated, or self-created.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect way of putting it. So the first option kind of begs that all of matter has always existed. It has never gone out of existence. And it has always been here. You know, we are just dust that has reformed into another thing. And soon we will be back to dust and we'll form into another thing. And none of the matter that makes up who we are is ever going to leave. It's always going to be here. The second idea that it created itself, It's hard to explain because it's physically impossible for something like that to happen. So before the universe existed, it would not have to be around to do anything or to do any creating. So having that, if it was creating more things, then when does the creation stop, or even then, when does creation end? And it gives itself as like, it's kind of like a predecessor to option one, whereas it's always been in existence. There's always had to be something to create something else. And if that's the case, then what created the first thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is what's created. And this comes down to there is something or someone that transcends what we can perceive as real. Transcends reality.
Mm-hmm.
Transcends the universe. And he, it, them, whatever it was, is the one that brought the universe into being. Via the Big Bang, via, you know, say, speaking into being, via any sort of motion you would perceive. So then, those are those three options you describe. Skeptic says, well, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, if you're leaning more towards God, I still have a hard time believing in a God that I can't see with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God is so, you know, amazing, then why don't he make himself present? Why don't I just see him?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we can definitely say is we can understand that struggle. I mean, each of us as Christians has, and I mean, I know you have too, Austin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've struggled with the idea that if God is real, then why doesn't he show himself? Why isn't he a visible God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing we have to understand with our atheist brothers and sisters in the world, is that they don't understand the kind of God we love. What's that?
And to add on to this, here's why this is important.
Yeah.
So there's this guy I've been reading over Christmas break. His name is Francis Schaeffer. He was a Christian philosopher. Yeah, he was based out of Switzerland for a majority of his life. He founded something called L'Abri, which is a... what is it? It's French for the shelter, which is a place where basically people could come and ask their questions. And basically, Francis Schaeffer wrote in this book called He Is There and He Is Not Silent. He said this: no man can live without a worldview. Therefore, there is no man who is not a philosopher. So here's the point. We, as human beings, all have a worldview. We all have a way in which we perceive the world, a way in which we understand the world. We have ways in which we determine whether something is true or not. And I honestly believe if we look around at the climate today of people, they seem to base a lot of what they believe to be true on their feelings or what they perceive the world to be. They would say, I feel this way, this is therefore true for me. But what we're saying is look outside of yourself, look out at the universe around you, look out at the stars, at the trees, at the human beings around you, at the leaves on the trees, at animals, at anything, and just realize it's pointing us to something. Schaeffer also said, and I'll let Sean continue after this.
You're fine.
Schaeffer said that, if I can find it, he said, you know what? I was scrolling through a book. I'll cut that part out. But basically this. He said the universe has form and order. And if the universe has form and order, we cannot assume that something that is not conscious could form and order itself. We cannot assume that the universe has all these things that work in motion and work in cycles, like the solar system or like... you know, our bodies, and we can't assume that they're there because of something random. They were brought together by something intelligent. And I think that's, is that part of where you were going?
Yeah, exactly, actually. And it's that whole proof of God. We don't need to know, let me start over. If there is a painting, if Austin, if I show you a painting,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful, and you ask me a very interesting question. You ask me, who made that painting?
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming that this painting was created by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were just talking about how the universe has some sort of order.
Mm-hmm.
It's not chaos.
Mm-hmm.
There's always order with it. There's an order in the solar system. There's an order in the water cycle that we have, which is amazing. There's an order in photosynthesis, which provides oxygen to us. There's an order in the exact diameter and degree of which the Earth is angled in its cylindrical form. Not cylindrical, but spherical form.
Dude, you're getting all scientific.
But there's an order to all these things. And if those go off, then either Earth becomes, you know, engulfed in flames or frozen over.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in the perfect place for life. And I think it's one thing that a lot of people forget is that we are in the perfect place for life. And it's very easy to take that for granted because we live here.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what it is to live without life, if that makes sense. I mean, I think I love that movie. What was it? Interstellar. Where they go outside of our solar system.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. And they try searching other planets. Totally desolate.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, completely desolate. And I think that's one thing that we as humans forget is that we have it really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to not just live, but thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to live to our fullest extent.
And another thing, too, is it's like, if this is, if we're in the perfect condition for life, we can get up, we can, people can get married, have children, they can work jobs, they can make money, they can have a life here.
Well,
we forget that that's pointing to something. That's, you don't just have those things. They're given to you. They're
mm-hmm.
gifts from someone.
Even
something.
Having that ability to work, to earn a, what's a wage, to earn something, or that, even the idea of earning.
Yeah.
That's the ability or the prospect to even have the ability to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you look at microorganisms, they work to live.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much to thrive. And they don't have
the
kind
consciousness.
Of the consciousness and the understanding.
They're not self-aware.
Self-aware. Yeah. They're not driven to do anything. They have no means to live. If I could ask a microorganism or something like that, and I said, why are you to live? What reason do you have to exist? Let's look something bigger. Let's look at a fly, because I hate flies. Why do you live? Why do you exist?
Mm-hmm.
And that fly couldn't logically respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
That fly couldn't logically give me a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even consciousness is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing gift at that, because then now we have the ability to perceive and conceive of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the famous question, why do we exist, is so amazing, because it assumes that we have the ability to think of our own existence and then to give value to that existence.
Mm-hmm. So for you Christians listening, ask yourself this question, because you may not have asked yourself this before. You may have gone to church and it may have just been around Christians your whole life, but think about this. Who are you and why are you here?
I love that.
Think about it. You're human beings. We're different than any other living thing in the universe. We are self-aware. If you want more specific terms, you could say we have a soul. We have something that can think. We have a rational mind. And to just say that it came out of nowhere is to ignore the gift that we have, which is all these things are signs pointing us to something. Earlier, Sean had said if I had really questioned why God hadn't shown himself, but I think I'd wondered that when I was earlier because I was off in my reasoning slightly. I didn't bother to ask myself, in what ways has God shown himself already? And then I didn't ask myself who I am as a person who should even demand God show himself to me. But think about it. John Calvin, this guy who wrote like 500 years ago, who's a real sharp Christian writer, he said, all knowledge comes from two principal heads, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. And he basically said, when you look at yourself, you're looking at a sign that's pointing to who God is. So what Sean's pointing towards is that you can't really look out and not see that it's pointing you to something.
Even the psalmist wrote that the stars in the sky are a testament to the work of God's hands
mm-hmm.
and the beauty they have.
And that should amaze us.
It does amaze
us. We're not saying these things to talk down to anybody. We're saying, look, this is amazing. This is beautiful. This is good.
And that speaks about a creation. The fact that it is beautiful and that it does hold beauty speaks to there being a creator.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the painting example,
mm-hmm.
if I showed you a painting, you ask who made that or who drew that
mm-hmm.
or who created that. You assume in your mind, since it's so beautiful, it must be created. It's the same idea if I dropped a watch in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And if I found a watch in the forest, a Rolex, let's say, something beautiful like a Rolex,
mm-hmm.
I picked it up, I don't go...
Or an Apple Watch.
Man.
No.
Or an Apple Watch. I don't know, I like Rolexes more.
Than that.
I don't go, man, this is an interesting rock.
Mm-hmm.
No,
right?
This transcends everything around it.
Mm-hmm.
life on Earth transcends everything around it that we can possibly conceive. We haven't found life anywhere. Life itself transcends outside of Earth, outside of our solar system, outside of our universe. Mm-hmm. We haven't found, or sorry, our galaxy, I'll say, because I don't know if there's other universes. But life itself is that Rolex that we find chilling in the middle of a forest. Mm-hmm. Where life shouldn't exist, it does, mm-hmm. and it thrives. Mm-hmm. Just like we find a really, really, really like nice gold Rolex that's gold plated and it's beautiful, it's been working for ages and millennia. So then there begs the question that this is not where this started.
Yeah,
this is not the product of the things surrounding it.
But it's also not perfect. And C.S. Lewis,
no, of course not.
This is getting philosophical here, but I don't mind it. I hope you're sticking around. So C.S. Lewis wrote this book called The Problem of Pain. And he was talking about, if all we are is the product of random processes, how could we ever conceive of the idea that this world isn't perfect, or that there's something more perfect waiting for us? Where do we even come up with this idea of what perfect is? Because if you think about it, we look around us and we know things aren't as they should be. I mean, why else would we have movements such as Black Lives Matter or the feminist movement?
We have senses of morality.
That have senses of morality and sense that something is off. Why do we have these movements unless we know something's not the way it should be? Mm-hmm. And that begs the question, how do we know something, whether something is the way it should be or not? How do we know what something was designed to be? And that goes back to what Scripture says. Scripture points us to the fact that when after we were created, Adam and Eve had made the decision that they could be the gods of their own lives, that they could direct where they're supposed to go. And as a result, death, sin, disorder, chaos, all these sad and terrible things came into the world. Mm-hmm. And so
the second law of thermodynamics came into the world.
Second law of thermodynamics. Which that's if you read it, it might sound a little vague if you read it. But when you break it down, it's pointing to the fact that we can't have something. The world is slowly deteriorating, but it started from a place. It started from somewhere, which proves it's not eternal.
Exactly.
But it's also showing that if things are degrading, then that means we're living in a world that's degrading, and that means we're not where we used to be.
But that also speaks to where we have been.
Yeah.
And that means that we had a beginning. Mm-hmm. But that also speaks, so we're going to go back to, we kind of got off on this long rabbit trail, and I'm going to try to bring it back, but it was a good one because I really liked it. Hmm. So we've explained, like, if there is a Rolex in the forest, or if there is a painting on a wall, that it begs to the idea that there was a creator behind it. So then, skeptic says, you know, if the universe demands a creator, then can't we just say God must have a creator as well? In other words, like, who made God? Mm-hmm. So if the whole finite universe had to be created, had to come from a specific point or a specific beginning, then can we say the same about God? Then who made God? Then who made that God? Then, you know, it's an infinite regression. So then, the one thing we would say is that, no, because the idea of transcendence mm-hmm. means that you don't need a beginning. Mm-hmm. You are transcendent above time, because time even had a beginning. Mm-hmm. That's a weird thought to get your mind around, mm-hmm. that time had a beginning. And so the God that created time must transcend it. Mm-hmm. So, to say that God had a beginning, we know that the whole phrase that God is the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you're thinking of a number line. God is here at the beginning and God is here at the end. When really, that doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. Because if God transcends time, then you do have that number line, but then you have God above it. Mm-hmm. And He's not even part of it.
And actually, this happened to me on Twitter, and I don't like getting into Twitter arguments, okay?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, but I had a clever question addressed to me by someone who was somewhat popular on Twitter. I'll let Sean read the name, but I'm not going to address who the person is over this podcast. But basically, I was asked this question by this somewhat professional person, who basically my response was, if God is a necessary being, in other words, if it's necessary for him to exist in order for everything else to exist, then that means God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything because he created everything. He didn't need anything, and he's therefore eternal. So basically, It's asking the question who created God would be silly, because we're saying that there came a point where somebody created everything who had no need. Mm-hmm. So that also leads into the part of this, which is that we're as human beings, we need. God does not need. Which means we're dependent on something for our existence.
Everything's dependent on something.
We're not self-sufficient beings here. You know, we can't make our own life.
Even down to the microbial level. Microbes, or let's go even further. Let's go down to atoms. Mm-hmm. All right, the building blocks of life require each bonds. They require bonds to hold each other together. Mm-hmm. They require a specific energy to hold each other together. Mm-hmm. And that energy is not of themselves. Mm-hmm. It's given by something else, by another atom, or by an electron, or by something else. So all these other things had to come from outside of it. No one atom in all of chemistry, in all of biology, in all of science can support itself alone.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Michael Behe, he was a biochemist. I don't remember what university he teaches at, but he wrote a book called Darwin's Black Box, and he was basically saying if you look beneath the surface in biology, you'll discover that nothing had the building blocks in itself to create itself. It needed something else in order for it to exist.
Naturally.
Even the eye, if you mess with one little mechanism in the eye, it doesn't work. And so how on earth could something that requires so many little pieces to work together create itself?
It's the Rolex watch.
Yeah, exactly. So here's where we're getting at, okay? So the world's not the way it's supposed to be. We can tell by looking out at nature that we are created beings, created for a purpose, and have deviated from that purpose. Otherwise, we wouldn't be trying to enact social change. If nobody created us, then truth would be left up to us. But we see all around us that we have convictions. We have a sense that life has meaning beyond our own personal opinion. In other words, we believe that there's meaning to every person's life that goes outside of our own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that begs the question, who did it? Who gave us this meaning? And we're saying that it's the God of Scripture. We're saying that Jesus was necessary in order for us to be redeemed from the state that we're in. For the time being, we're still going to die, but our souls needed to be redeemed. Oh, yeah. That's where you were getting at, really.
Of course, Psalm 92 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Yeah.
Begging the fact that the Bible says and supports that God has been and always will be God. And he's never left that position, nor is he ever going to. He's never going to stop being God. He's always been God, transcendent of time, creator of all the universe and of time itself.
Mm-hmm.
So then the skeptic says, so then pretty much you're saying God has always existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's pretty much what we're saying. And he scoffs and says, that's impossible. How is that possible?
Which is funny, because you're observing. You're making a conclusion based on your observations.
Yeah.
But we're saying that the word supernatural means above nature.
Yeah.
We're saying that something above nature created nature,
mm-hmm.
and therefore exists outside of time, what we know to be natural.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then we ask that question. Well, you know, before you scoff at the idea that God always had to exist, keep in mind this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something must have always existed for us to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that? And he says, you know, okay, why do you think that? Well, if you think this through with me, if nothing can produce something, yet something exists, it follows necessarily that something has always existed.
Mm-hmm. Nothing begets nothing.
Yes. I mean, nothing comes from nothing.
Yeah.
In order to bring something into existence, that is, if you want to bring something into existence, something must have existed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we go back to the three reasons or the three options of creation, that being it's always existed, it created itself, or it was created by something above it. That's why option two doesn't work, because if it created itself, that's saying that it's always existed before then.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm thinking. Because of our time constraints, we're going to post this online. We're going to post a link for you guys to read this. But I mean,
we've kind of gone through
the whole
scenario already. If you guys want more answers on very difficult questions, I recommend Charlie Campbell's website. I'm reading straight from it right now. It's www.alwaysbeready.com www.thepodcast.com/answers-to-questions. It's an amazing website. He has a ton of he majors really in apologetics. He has a ton of free information for you guys, talking about Islam, Judaism, Muslims, even going as far as Mormonism, even Zeitgeist. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, don't.
Zeitgeist or Zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. And I think I want to talk about that because that's. Oh boy, that's interesting.
We'll save that for next time. I think here's where we're getting all that with saying all this. And Sean, I think, agrees with me. We're saying all this because we're pointing to the fact that Christ is real. Christ came into space-time history.
Yep.
And if you were to look up evidence for any person's existence, there's more evidence for the existence of Jesus Christ than even Julius Caesar himself. If you look at how many documents we have in the New Testament, which were written as historical narratives, not as fairy tales, if you were to look through all that, you would see that we could be more certain of his existence than Nero or Julius Caesar or many other figures. But the point we're all saying is we're pointing to our need for Christ. We're pointing to the fact that we're not where we should be and that we need our sins forgiven. We're aware that we've done wrong and we need to be reconciled back with our Creator to know who we are and why we're here. But here's something to post to you guys, because you might be thinking this while you're listening to this. You might be thinking, I'm not like Sean and Austin. I haven't studied this stuff like they have. I haven't read as much as they have. And you know what? We're not saying that it's a sin that you haven't read what we have. What we're trying to do is encourage you to start from where you are and to keep learning. But also, think about this. Here are some practical things you can do this semester. As you're learning these things, as you're studying these things, here are some practical things you can do to be an effective witness in your school. First of all, okay, you need to show up to class. Because last semester, I admit, I got lazy, man.
Who doesn't?
When you have those three days a week classes, there's that temptation first thing in the morning that says, you can just go back on Wednesday. You can just go back on Friday.
Don't
follow that
get
voice.
Get behind me, Satan.
Exactly. Like that whole thing. Like, don't show up to class. If you're a Christian in college, you need to show up to class to be an effective witness, because if you told somebody you're a Christian, they're going to be watching to see if you're showing up to class. Secondly, don't try to get in debates with your teachers if you disagree with them. Life is not like the movie God's Not Dead. It's not like you have to debate with all your teachers. You know what your teachers are looking for? 99.99% of the time, they're looking for you to be a student who's listening, a student who wants to learn, a student who's willing to show up to class and to do the work. They want to see you participating. So do that. Don't get distracted with your phone. Don't get distracted with your devices. If you have your laptop open in class and it's distracting you, close it. Take notes with a pen and paper. But you are representing Christ in the classroom, and you need to be a good student. And if you're struggling with the class, we have a lovely tutorial center here at Clovis Community that can help you. There's a lot of great people who work there, and they are more than willing to help you with your learning needs. But
shout out to the tutorial center.
Yeah, shout out to the tutorial center. Yeah, we love you guys there. Yeah. And the third thing you need to do is show up to class, do the work, and seek to get to know the students around you. Don't be super introverted. You may be a little shy, but get to know people around you. Converse with them. That's how a Christian witness is established. It's not just through being able to tell people from time to time that you know what the gospel is, but it's also showing that you believe it, and it comes out even in the little way you say things, even in the things you choose not to say. So in this last segment, we want to encourage you guys. For one, keep in mind, everybody's got a worldview. Everyone's got the way they think about the world, and what we're trying to do is ask questions to make you dig beneath that and ask what you believe about the world and why you believe it. We want to get you guys thinking about, you know, if the Way Club is the Christian club on campus, why do we think this way? Why do we believe these things? Why do we even bother having a podcast or a meeting? And actually, on that note, I want to remind you guys that our meeting times are to be determined at the moment. However, if you have questions, whether about this podcast or about the club itself or about our meeting times, you can email us at wayoncampus@gmail.com. That is wayoncampus@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to respond. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thewayoncampus if you need help finding our time. But yes, we're working on our times right now to be determined, so keep keep updated on that. We hope to be here every week with you guys discussing all these issues. And Sean's going to post, we're going to have the link posted for you soon. And we really appreciate everything that was spoken today by Sean, because let's face it, a lot of us didn't pay attention in science class. A lot of us may not have paid attention in philosophy class. But this is to remind us not to beat ourselves up, but to study, to learn, to grow. And you know what? If you're a business major and you don't know much about philosophy, well, it wouldn't hurt to learn a little bit from guys like Francis Schaeffer or J.I. Packer or other Christian writers about Christian philosophy. And you know what? If you're a philosophy major, it wouldn't hurt if you're taking a business class to do well in that business class and learn about finances. But
of course,
we want to encourage you guys to live out what you're learning. Sean, do you have any final comments before we close today's broadcast?
Yeah, one closing comment. You guys, we don't want this to be a replacement for going to a good church. We don't want this to be a replacement for having good community of people that are Christians that can surround you and hold you accountable. Two things that are the most important, I believe, in living a good Christian life is, one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Do everything unto God as if you were doing it for God. That includes your work, your school, your off time, when you're hanging out with your friends, the way you talk, the way you text, what you post on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever it is, do it all unto God. And then secondly, surround yourself with people that love God as well. Listening to this podcast is a great method of gaining some sort of community with us, because of course, if we see you on campus, we want to answer your questions, we want to hang out with you, we want to encourage you in any way that we can. But we would also encourage you to take the extra step, go find a good church, find yourself a good group of friends, get involved in worship, get involved in community, and make sure you're proclaiming the name of God in a way that is both honoring and a way that you would love to be honored. So go out and do those things. Be a representative for Christ, and go and do those things. Yeah.
You know, if you need help finding a church or something, email us. If you need prayer for people in your church or for the church you're going to, email us.
Or for any other things.
Any other things, wayoncampus@gmail.com. Once again, our times will be posted soon on our Facebook. And if you want to join our email list, make sure to follow that email that's been spoken before. But until next time, I'm Austin Thompson.
I'm Sean O'Hara. We love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Way on Campus podcast. We'll see you next time.